This community spotlight is recorded, and we're not accepting any phone calls.
Joining us right now, CEO Mr. Blau of the Punxsutawney Area Hospital. Thank you for joining us and answering some questions that we have. As far as the residents in the area, how at risk are they?
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me. The situation with COVID-19 is, of course, a rapidly evolving matter. The risk of transmission of this new novel disease in our community and its impact on individuals will change daily. The latest updates are always available to people in our community on the CDC's Coronavirus Disease 2019 website, which we're broadly advertising. But the risk for infection, this is a viral infection, and it depends on the unique characteristics of the particular virus that we're dealing with, how well it spreads between people, how severe the resulting illness might be if you're impacted, and what medical or other measures are available to control the impact of the virus in the community as well as on the individual. For example, we have seasonal influenza every year here, and there are vaccines that help us reduce the spread, reduce the risk of contracting an illness, or reducing the impact of the illness should you have the virus. We have vaccines and we have treatment medications to manage those influenza seasonal problems. Unfortunately, with the COVID-19 virus, there is currently an absence of a vaccine as well as treatment medications to manage patient symptoms. So we have to rely on non-pharmaceutical interventions like rest, fluids, aspirin to control fever, and isolation to stop further spread as the only available response strategies. This is a novel virus in which there are neither vaccines or medications that people might be familiar, like Tamiflu for seasonal influenza. So the emphasis really right now has been on what are the community interventions that we should be embracing to reduce the spread of the virus if and when it arrives in Jefferson County. The risk if a patient does become impacted with COVID-19 illness should be broken down to the risk of exposure versus the risk of serious illnesses or death. From what we've witnessed to date and what you've probably seen in the media, the virus is fairly contagious. So if it does come to Punxsutawney or Jefferson County, the risk of individual exposure is fairly high. But from what we've seen to date, the risk of serious illness and death for otherwise healthy children, adolescents, and adults is low. However, we're concerned about our older adults and those with underlying medical conditions or those with an autoimmune disorder, and that's the population subgroup that might be at really significant higher risk for serious illness with this virus.
So if somebody has the symptoms, what do you recommend?
The first strategy should be to make contact with your primary care provider and discuss those symptoms. There are a number of screening criteria that your family practice physician or your urgent care center or a hotline will take you through relative to self-monitoring of your temperature, what kind of respiratory symptoms you're developing, whether you've had some kind of exposure to somebody with international travel. And those screening questions will be the trigger point, so to speak, as to whether you need to have evaluation by a medical provider. But the best strategy is to isolate yourself at home at this point in time because there are no vaccines, there are no medications available right now. By going to a physician's office that we're going to be able to prescribe other than over-the-counter medications, which are commonly associated with managing the flu and viral cold syndromes. So the emphasis now is those people that are ill but not acutely ill can best serve themselves and the community by working together to contain the spread of that virus because it is fairly contagious.
Now, if somebody doesn't have health insurance, what do you recommend for them?
If people don't have health insurance and they are concerned about their health status, please contact us at our hotline. We can put you in touch with a nurse Our people here are available irregardless of people's ability to pay. We can at least do some telephone advice for you. And if you need to see a medical provider based on the results of that telephone examination, the emergency room is certainly available. We just like to do that screening examination and help you make the determination whether you can manage your symptoms at home or you actually need to have care at the hospital. But certainly, if you're seriously ill, that's what the hospital is here for. And there are no questions asked about your insurance status if you're ill and you've contacted us and we've made a recommendation to come to the hospital for care. Certainly come to the hospital for care, irregardless of your insurance status.
So do you have test kits at the hospital then?
We do have test kits, but like anything, availability of those test kits is being monitored. There could likely in the future be some shortages, but we do have testing availability, but the availability of those tests is only going to be for those that are determined to be medically necessary. So right now, a patient can't come to the hospital without a physician order for a test, or there's no community-wide screening at this point in time confirming that somebody has coronavirus 19 isn't going to change the course of treatment.
Okay, and have you noticed a spike in type A and B flu so far?
We are still seeing seasonal influenza A and influenza B, and we still have the capability of treating and evaluating patients with that. For the most part, people that are presenting still to the hospital with any kind of viral illness or fever are being diagnosed still with influenza. So we're past the peak of influenza season, but we are still seeing it here in our community. And most of the patients that have come to the hospital so far in the last couple of weeks concerned about coronavirus are actually being diagnosed still with influenza A or influenza B.
So I understand that you have tents set up at your campus there. What's going on with that?
The tents on the campus are really part of our preparedness activity in the event that we have to expand our capacity and provide certain screening triage services outside of the hospital if we get a severe local outbreak. So we're training our staff, running drills, kind of dry running our systems because we have to be able to respond quickly if the coronavirus develops here in Southern Jefferson County. So we're working with our medical and our nursing staff, and we're just making sure we're as prepared as best we can if extraordinary number of patients might be coming to our campus. And we actually have to focus on keeping our staff here well and our hospital environment safe for patients that need care. So patients coming to the hospital may see some new screening activities at our entrances, some new entrances, how to access the hospital for care, certainly visitor restrictions, and they may be greeted by employees with personal protective equipment like masks and other protective clothing.
As far as the spread of the virus, does it linger on currency?
On currency, I could have to refer that to the guidelines by the CDC because I'm not an authority there, but I do believe that there are a variety of surfaces and the time frame that it lingers is dependent on what the product is. I believe I heard something earlier in the week that on cardboard surfaces it lasts 3 to 4 days, so it's really highly dependent on the substance, but I would generally say yes, there's a time frame based on the product that it stays.
But, so all the more, it's very important that people wash their hands and clean surfaces and make sure you use disinfectant and that kind of stuff.
As I said, we're not prescribing antibiotics. There's not Tamiflu available for this. So the efforts really need to be a whole community effort collaborating together to practice social distancing so that we work collaboratively to keep it from spreading if it comes, and containment by washing hands and practicing good personal hygiene consistently.
All right, CEO of the Punxsutawney Area Hospital, Mr. Blau, thank you for taking some time out and answering questions and really easing a lot of the fears by giving us more understanding about the corona virus, the COVID-19.
You're welcome. Please, if your listening audience has additional questions, please refer to reliable sources of information. And that's with the CDC, the Pennsylvania Department of Health, our website, our Facebook page, where we're posting lots of information. And certainly, if you want to have direct conversation with a healthcare worker, our COVID-19 hotline. Thank you so much.
I thank you, sir.